Hello, this is Jeff Wine with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Key Realty. If you are considering a move to or within the Blue Water area, please reach out to discuss your housing needs. Call 810-650-6255. Again, that is 810-650-6255. Thank you.
All right, 9:40 on this Thursday morning. Seems like everybody has been sick lately. We were right in the thick of cold and flu season and COVID. And RSV as well. RSV can affect anyone, but infants and young children are at the highest risk for serious, even life-threatening illness because of their smaller and less mature immune systems. Joining us right now to talk more about the threat of RSV, pediatric nurse practitioner expert Andrea Klein-Tilford with the National Association of Pediatric Nurse Practitioners. Andrea, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, I appreciate you joining us. We are right in the thick of this cold and flu season, and I guess we should remind people what RSV is and who's most at risk.
Yeah, for sure. And we definitely are in the thick of it. So RSV, or respiratory syncytial virus, is super common throughout our communities. It does have a seasonal variance, typically from the fall into the spring. And we're pretty much at the height of it right now. But it's a respiratory illness, generally causes mild cold-like symptoms. But those that are particularly young, so newborns, young infants, younger children, are more likely to develop severe RSV, need hospitalization, and then it can go down into the lungs and cause bronchiolitis and more difficulty with breathing and respiratory distress.
And young children who are otherwise healthy can still get RSV, can't they?
Absolutely. And that's one of the tricky things. We don't know which of the children that are healthy are going to get severe disease. But what we do know is that about 75% of those infants and children that are hospitalized are otherwise healthy. And so kids that have other underlying illnesses are at higher risk for more severe disease. But looking at that number, with 75% of them that are hospitalized being otherwise healthy, we know that all kids are at risk for severe disease, and we just don't know which ones will have it. And we know that about two-thirds of kids less than 1 year of age are gonna have RSV in that first year of life. So it's really difficult to escape it. It's not if someone's going to get it, it's when they're going to get it. And then we do get reinfected throughout our life as well.
If you have a young child who's coughing, who has, you know, that upper respiratory type illness, it could be a cold, it could be the flu, it could be COVID, or it could be RSV. How is RSV different in infants and young children?
Yeah, you know, it can be tricky. They often start out, they may have very similar symptoms at the start, so to really set them apart between flu and COVID and RSV. But there's a couple of things that might tip someone off, and RSV is not often, you know, it's not always associated with a fever, may or may not. It typically ramps up a little more slowly than COVID or flu, which can come on a little more quickly. An infant with RSV can start out with, no, well, maybe they were sniffling a little bit today, and then maybe tomorrow they start to have more of a runny nose, and they don't really peak in their illness until several days into their illness. And so it's more of a ramp-up kind of illness rather than a all of a sudden I feel just really terrible. So that's something that can set them apart in terms of their presentation. And then typically RSV in severe disease, that the lungs are impacted, there's inflammation, wheezing, and then that bronchiolitis picture.
And so if you have a child that's diagnosed with RSV, what are the next steps, particularly the different options for treatment?
Yeah, for sure. So with RSV, there's not a specific treatment. So we're really focused on how can we support that infant and child through their illness. And so really paying attention to how the infant or young child is breathing at home. Are they able to eat and drink? Are they able to eat and drink and breathe all at the same time? Are they having difficulty breathing? Those would be some indications that they do need to be seen. And then once they are seen, it's determined whether or not they need to be hospitalized. And they may need to have support to with IV fluids if they're not able to maintain their hydration. They may need oxygen. Typically, RSV is associated with just lots of secretions, like nasal secretions. And their airways are so much smaller than the adult. They just can't manage it. So oftentimes we need to help them with suctioning out those secretions to keep their airway open so that they can breathe more easily. And then oxygen, and then sometimes they need more life supportive therapies as well in order to support them through their illness. And there's really nothing that we could do to shorten the disease. It's going to run its course, which can take a couple of weeks. Sometimes that cough can even last longer.
Andrea, what do you say to those parents that are kind of hemming and hawing, saying, I don't know, I think it's maybe just a cold, it'll pass in a day or two, as opposed to whether they should actually, you know, call the doctor?
Yeah, I think that just really staying keyed into, you know, are they able to maintain their hydration? Are they, you know, if they're not able to, if it's an infant and they're having less wet diapers, and you can see them, if they're having breathing problems like sucking in under their ribs when they're taking a breath or their nose is flaring in and out, those are signs they definitely need to not just keep them at home, but take them in and make sure that they don't need to have some additional support to get them through the illness.
If people have questions, where can they go for more information about RSV?
Yeah, for sure. Lots of information on the National Association of Pediatric Nurse Practitioner website, www.napnap.org. That's www.napnap.org to get that information. Lots of information about prevention on that site as well. We used to have to rely solely on hand washing and keeping children away from crowds or keeping ill people away from younger children. But we do have a couple other tools in our toolbox now, including a medication on the serum bab that is a monoclonal antibody that's administered to infants that are 8 months or younger going into the RSV season to help prevent that severe disease, as well as vaccinating mothers between 32 and 36 weeks during their pregnancy, so they can pass along that immunity to that newborn infant to also help with prevent that severe disease and hospitalization in these infants and young children. So we have some additional tools. More information about that on our website at napnap.org.
All right. We'll check it out. Thanks so much. Appreciate your time this morning.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. Bye-bye.